Today's daf is daf Lamed Aleph, and last year we began the Mishnah. If you remember, we discussed Hameta Eri Enosh al Nochri. If someone's going to a Nochri who has grapes and the like, and he wants to purchase the wine off him, but he wants to be involved, so how do you metahir his wine? So, in other words, you're going to do the process, it stays in his possession, you're going to purchase it from him. So, in that situation, he says, and it's left in his reshut. Importantly, here, he has not yet paid for it. We'll discuss this in a bit. Meaning he's not, it says here, so he hasn't paid him for it because he's going to sell it on to other people, right? So we said that if it is, we have to go through this carefully because it's important to do the chazar for the Gemara. If it's a Beit Shul Patoch L'Sarabim, Be'ir Sheyesh Bo Goyim or Israel, if it's a city where there are both Goyim and Jews walking in, and it's in a public place, you're not, there's no problem, we're not concerned the Goy is going to start accessing this wine. And maybe it may make it Mayi Nesach. If a city that's full of goyim, then it's asur at yoshev shemoy go by a shomer. If there's no shomer, in shomer tzvich liot yoshev m'shomer, he's got to sit there. Alpha bisha in yitzav v'nichnas, even if he's just going in and out, we said it's mutav. Rabbi Shimon Lazer omer korosho goyim echad. Now we explained korosho goyim echad was the question is if the goy puts it in another goy's possession, is that does that help you or not? Okay, that was a debate there, if you remember. Now we continue. Amatoriyam shanochri v'notner brushoto v'hala kotev lo. Now, the way this is explained is the reisha, what we've been discussing, is where it helps to, if it's in a public place and then there, Jews are walking past there, there's no concern, you have to worry about, it's considered guarded as it is. That's provided the guy said, look, I've already accepted the money, you can take it whatever you want. Now, he may not have, sorry, he hasn't been paid yet, but he's not holding this wine as a guarantee for the payment. That's more the point. Aval im yirtzei Israel, so if the Israel comes and wants to come and take the wine to sell it on, because again, this is a business arrangement, he's going to take it, sell it, and pay the goy as he gets the money. It says, well, and if the goy says, forget it, you're not touching it until I see my money. Then, in other words, this is an interbeitzan, because this is very similar to a situation where we had, if you remember previously, where a goy was found next to wine of a Jew, which was a guarantee for his loan, meaning he has no, there's no inhibition there. There's no concern, like there's no deterrent for him to start checking the wine because he feels he has a sense it really belongs to him. Okay, that's a difference. Now let's look at the Gemara. Hamata Yonashon Nochri. Rabbi Yossi is b'shem Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Lo saf davar petach. It's all talking about a doorway. Afilu chalon v'yesh bo arba al rum arasara. Provided that it's again even a window that's 4 by 4 up to 10 high, that is again that's a like a enough of a view inside the place that if there are Jews and non-Jews in that city walking by, it'll consider guarded. This is provided that it is properly has like a roofing and edging around it such that it is something that won't be like closed off. Okay. What about Hayal le Rave or Hayal lo Rave? Rave here is talking about a tree. Now it's interesting here. I'll just show you the Rave that Pnei Moshe says. He says, Kamo lo Rave. Ushtei milot muvla'ot, they sort of merge together. Le Rave is lo Rave. Okay. Vuilan Sarak, it's another type of like just a non-fruit bearing tree. Val Shem Shu Gadal Me'alav. Why is it called Rave? Because it's Merabe, Rabba. Like it sort of it grows on its own. Ravi would Hagadel Ole. A Rave is something that it sort of grows, like continues to grow. Vadugmato midafashke Rave Beresh Bamavadlikim. Kol Mashayalo Lisrael Ilan Echad Va'olim Mahu. So this Rave, firstly, he says the Lashon Rave comes from something that sort of continues to grow on its own effectively. It's interesting that we call a red bee, not sure if there's an association, as a respectable term for a rav, right? We call him a rav. I wonder if it's coming from the same sort of semantic meaning. I have no idea if it does, but it's someone who continues in their growth, right? Perhaps. I don't know. That's just an idea. However, the point is this tree, this Sarak seems to be there's some sort of tree that people would climb up as more of a lookout point to see great distances. So what if there's a tree? So, in other words, you couldn't
Rabbi
see into the place where the storeroom was, but there's a tree nearby where that potentially you could see by. Is that enough of a deterrent? So, in that such that we can say if it's left in his care, it's okay. Sorry, you're saying?
Rabbi is also a young man, no, in the Unculus, in the Torah.
Yeah.
Which means that they grow
Growing,
also.
yafé, same idea. You're very good, very good. Okay, so I didn't hear before, my volume was down. I'll fix it now, I just noticed now. Okay, now we say Neymar, imaya olebi red bo, then it cheers the changes here. It's, this pretty much says mutar v'im lav asu. Now the way Pnei Moshe explains it is if when they're coming up and down, in other words, the person inside the house could see, if you like, that this is a lookout point and could notice when people are coming up and down it, then that would be enough of a deterrent. In other words, he has to be aware that people could see in. That's what I think is by the way Pnei Moshe is explaining. Okay, let's continue. Rabba says b'shem Rav Yehuda, b'irsh yesh blo tatayim v'ubariyach imatnita. Now we need a bit of help here with the Pnei Moshe, because what we're saying here, the Pnei Moshe says, we're dealing with, in other words, when do we say that a city that's kula nochrim is asur, meaning just having it in the door isn't going to help you? That's when he says, unless you put a shomer there, that's a city that's already got a wall around it. And it's got a, like a door and a door that, and these doors lock, right? And it's such a city where you don't really see foreigners that much. To get into the city, you need to knock on the doors of the city. Okay? And because of that, it's only because it has these doors that you've got it. That's when we say that Gnochri will be aware when someone's coming, and therefore leaving his carry is a dangerous thing, meaning he's gonna he'll be confident and he can say access this one without anyone catching him. Okay? Hilkach, that's why you need a shomer. However, the Gemara doesn't like that, but that's been a qualification. Because it says, Bada tami shomer afalpi she'enu ba elav the kitzim. This is the kasha. He says, if you're talking about a city that has got a wall around it such that, you know, they know who's coming and going, then how would having a shomer that's nichnas v'yotze help? Because I'll show you here, the kitzim, the next few down before Moshe, lezmanim lifamim, if someone's coming in and out doing the inspection intermittently, and if it's a city that has a bolt and a door that it's very hard to access without getting permission, then he'll know when the shomer is coming. It's like in kashrus, if there's a scheduled date when the guy's going to be coming, that's not a has to be spontaneous, has to be in a way that he's not aware when the person's coming. But if there's a bolt on the fence, on the gate, and have to get permission to enter, then how's Yosef and Nicholas going to help? Because because he'll know that the Shomer can't come unannounced. So therefore, the Mishnah must be talking about with a city that doesn't have this sort of difficult access. And in other words, a city that's kula shel goyim, even with it, without this, security doors and knowing who's coming, still the Nochri won't be scared. And that's the situation you need a shomer. Ah, but when you have a shomer, Yotzev and Nichnas is fine. Okay. So Tani, Israel v'goy shekansu et yainan b'farkia, which is some sort of market, shel ir. Afilu shomrin goy, even the shomrin goy standing, afilu chovel p'tuchot, even if the barrel's already open, mutarot she'ein menasrin ken. Because it seemed to be in the market, that wouldn't be the place where they would start doing nisu chayayin, it sounds like. Either, again, not sure the context in terms of the location or because too many people are around that you'll start accessing the wine, but nonetheless, that doesn't seem to be a concern in that location. Next, Rav Hila says, B'shem Rav Hila, halukeach. Now you've got kumocher here, but the Pnei Moshe changed it to kesocher. So what are we talking about here? V'tani ken echad halukeach v'chad hasocher. Here we're talking about where a Jew had purchased or rented some space in the Reshut HaNochri to put his yayin there. So what it's saying is that whether you rented is the same as purchasing, such that if it's the Jews' wine, Israel Darsham and the Jews also living there, then it's mutar. However, Alav, he has to still have a key to get in and a seal on it, such that again, when he's leaving, when he may have left the house, the Nochri won't be able to quickly access and take it. And same wine, and then Yaines have concerns. Or bezman shishel goy, again, if the wine belongs to a goy, such that, again, we're talking about metaher yayin or shel nochri, the same type of arrangement where it's ensuring that it's still kosher, the wine. If Yisrael dasham, it's fine. However, ushi alav bechotam. However, v'im ein sha en Yisrael dasham, if Yisrael's not living there, then asur, the asur afal pi sheyesh alav mafteach bechotam, even if there's a key and a seal on it, because we're concerned that if Israel's not there, there's no shmirah. Even if you've got a seal on it, you might open it up and reseal it. Simple as that. Okay. Now Rav Yaila says b'shem Riyana, chokim al Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, which is when lo al hadi tamet el al hada debatra hametayin hashanochri. Now, to be careful, if you remember, we ended last year in the middle of the Mishnah to talk about the distinction or the argument whether kol rishut goy mechadhu, meaning if it helps to put it in a different goy's property or not. Chachamim said it seems to be it does. It would be considered guarded, and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says it does not. Now, the question is, what is the debate about? We brought on the Reisha, and the Reisha was where it presumably hadn't been paid for. But sounded like we qualified it, but didn't really matter. The no, you could take whatever you want. Now what we're saying is that debate's not going in the Reish, it's going in the Sefer. So read the Pnei Moshe. He says, "Lo al hadi itamrit v'kama shas the lava la Reish itamrit hadamilta ella ala Sefer," which means Hametayon Hashem Nochri. Aval im yirtzah notzi asur. In other words, a Sefer case where we're machmir to the in the situation where the Nochri, where if the Israel can't take the wine without paying. That's what we say, that having it open to the public is going to help. Now we're saying, it's like the Nochri having a loan on it, meaning that's almost a guarantee for the loan. And therefore he's more confident to start handling because he feels it's his already until it's been paid for. It's, this is where the debate is. Meaning, according to Chachamim, it's on that case, they say, oh, but if it's in possession of another Nochri, then it's okay when what? When people are, you know, walking by and things like that. However, Mishum Dezer Nochri Eino Malveh, because in that situation, there's no financial connection between the Nochri number two, who's just happened to be in his possession, that would give him the feeling that he could access it. So it's like the Reisha, where the Israel could have taken the food, the wine when he liked. Rabbi Shimon Azar, that's when his rishon is cholek, and the palik the afilu hachik kibben she'ino menicho ad she'iten ma'od na noch ribi ba'al yain. He says no, since in that second case the Israel cannot access the wine, chayshinan, we're still concerned if that wine is in somebody else's possession, in another noch's possession. Deshavikle, he'll say, you know what, go for it, have a drink while you're at it. V'hu ba'al yain, because it's ba'al yain. V'lo mirta tiyesh lo malve al yain. Therefore, we won't be concerned. Because he's got a malveh on it. In other words, still concerned that they might have like an agreement or a sense of freedom between one another. So it doesn't help. That's why kol nochri echad by coin to Rebbe Elazar. Okay. With that, we say Hadranalach Perek Rebbe Shmuel Hadranalach Perek Rebbe Shmuel. Let's learn the next Mishnah. This is in how the Mishnah says Hasochrat Apol Hasotim Obayayin. If someone's paid to be a worker to work with wine, we say Beyanesach Scharo Asur. We've alluded to this before. Now we're learning. We're hitting it, front on, which is that the wages you make will be asur. Now, importantly, Pnei Moshe says afilu yain stam, even if we don't know it's nesach yain that's mamash being used avodah zarah, even if it just belongs to the goy. Okay, and we say scharo asur, and it's simply, well, the Gemara is going to stress this. Pnei Moshe says this now. Well, the Gemara is going to derive it, but it's mishum, if you like, a knas. It's a chumra of yain nesach. Because why should the money that I make related to Stam Yain be asur? You'll see the Gemara is going to question this soon. What happens What happens if he's paid to do other work? Despite the fact that he says Chavit, can you also transport this barrel of wine? Mutar. Now have to be careful on this one. Moshe says that's provided that the Nochri said, I'd like you to take barrels for me. Now, but there were barrels of wine, empty barrels, they were buying the Nesach, and he's paid per barrel. That's what we're talking about. In other words, then mutar. That's why the other barrels are considered independent that he carried, and therefore the schar mutar. And only the schar that he made for the barrels of yain Nesach, those will be asul. That's how we can split and differentiate between the two. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. However, aval imamar lo haveli meyach. If he says, "I'll give you transport these 100 barrels for 100 puta," and he transfers 100 barrels only, amongst which are yain nesach, had he not transferred the yain nesach, he wouldn't have got paid at all, because it was a lump sum. It was a full deal. It wasn't a per barrel basis. And therefore, in that situation, he said the schara kulo would be asur. Because the only way he got his wage was because of the yain nesa which he carried. That's what the way Panei Moshe explains, qualifies the Mishnah. Okay? A few times the qualifications come from Bavli, and you'll see later on, he does this in another point in the sugya, and it's also clear that's like what the Yerushalmi holds. But anyway, that's how he explains the Mishnah. Let's continue now. Hasocher atapoel. The kasha of the Gemara is, but I don't understand, it's just a schar. What's a kasha? Back to the Pnei Moshe. He says, Va'maischar, why should the wages be asur? Imishum asurana, if it because Ainesi asurana. The money that is generated from an Esor Hana'ah is not Asur. Okay, and some it's Asur Hana'ah, you know, I get a better fine, but the monies of an Asur, the Meyam of Esor Hana'ah is not Asur. And so to Kavah Chomer, the wages for the person to schlep it about, if you want to say, oh, don't worry, Esor Avodah Zarah is much more Chamur. This is really important. More chamor because it's tofeset mehem. If you sell it, also the avodah zarah itself, it become the domain becomes asur. Hare shvit tofet, we find bashmita the same thing. V'schara mutar, and if someone's paid to do work with regain shmita stuff, we'll get to this soon. The schar is mutar. What type of work we're talking about? We'll get to that soon. So the Gemara in any event says no, you're right. Mikra adin, it shouldn't be asur, but it's a chumra by yain nesech. That is a knas knasuhu that you shouldn't be engaged with it. So even a schar becomes asur. So it's not something Mikra Adin that we can apply elsewhere. Let's continue. Tani, hachamarim v'katafim v'chol asim. Now we saw this Mesugi in Masechta Shviyos. It says, Tanya, hachamarim v'katafim. These are people that are transporters, effectively, either on their donkeys or on their shoulders. V'chol asim b'shviyos, scharan shviyos. All that they've done, their schar is, their wages is shmita. Now the question is, what does it even mean? It's not so clear. The Gemara says, "Amar b'zera b'peirot heter hi matnita." Peirot heter matnita means where the person did. Sorry, I'm sorry. I got to fill in a bit of gap that we had in Masechta Shviyos. It says, "Or therefore, ma'u scharan shviit shu'not lim mima shayu osim scharam shviit." What that means is we're dealing with someone who is able to do some sort of work during shmita for somebody that was mutar to do, and the scharan shmita means he's allowed to take his wages through shmita produce. That's what it means. How's it mitzvah to do work in Shemitah? I thought, you know, Ayala, do you know how to do work? The way Rechaim explained it there was, for example, where you're allowed to machnis in Shemitah year some of the produce, ma'at ma'at, small amounts, like you take from Hefker. Okay? So what if someone paid somebody else to bring in that small amount, which you're allowed to do? There's nothing asur about that. And that, so in other words, he can be paid with Shemitah produce. He doesn't have to pay with money. That's what means scharan heter. That's how he's unexplained what it means scharan heter. But 1 second, Rabbi Yochanan said to the house of Yanani, "Shelo yonot nim schara beyadehem." Or he got beyadehem, but the other gear says badehem shemen elamaot, not to take shmita produce as a payment, but rather take money instead. That's Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nechemya Horolehem. That relates to a different debate. Now, this we have to really, you know, remember what we learned back in the Sefer Shviyos for this. But this is where someone wanted to get bread from a Nachum, and he said he'll pay him with Shmita produce. Now, there's a machloket there whether you can do so. According to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nechemia, the Cholek said no, because you're not allowed to pay off debts with Shmita produce. So therefore, or with Kedushas Shviyos, so therefore, you can't make such an arrangement. However, according to Chachamim, since it was a tnai from the beginning that that's the arrangement, it's not considered like paying off a debt. Okay, that's how we learned it back there in Masechta Shviyos. So therefore, what we've just learned of Chamarim v'Katafim v'Kol HaSim Shviyos mean the campaign of Shmita products, that's according to Chachamim. However, what Rabbi Yanai told, sorry, what Rabbi Yochanan told the Beit Rabbi Yanai not to do that, that's to be cautious for the concern of, as we said, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nechemia. Okay. Now the Gemara again said, however, no, Amar Rav Yilai, how do we understand what it means? Hachamrim v'katafim v'chol asim b'shvi'it scharam shvi'it. Says that's be peirot aveira. That's the gears to change. You've got Avodah Zarah here. Or we had be mekatfei peirot aveira in the Masechta Shvi'it. In other words, in Matnita. What's that referring to? That's saying, oh, no. In Shmita, when do we say to mehem scharam is actually has kedushat shvi'it? That's when the work that was done be'isur, something that shouldn't have been done during Shemitah, probably still paid to do that. And it's Kedamar Aval Kanas, and then it is in line, much like we say about the Zara, that even though Mika Adin is not Asur, it's a Knas. So we see, just like in doing work for Yayin Nesach, really the Schar should be Asur, but it's a Knas Chachamim applied to be a Machmir. We also, according to Rabbi Yana, we also find this in Shemitah. If someone's doing work on Shemitah, their Schar is, has Kedushat Shvit as a Knas, meaning work that they wouldn't be allowed to do. Now, it's here, by the way, that I wanted to point out is that the Pnei Moshe brings the Bavli, the differentiator of the type of work, a Katvim, Poalim, things like that. But I'm not going to go into detail because the simple flow of the Gemara doesn't seem to differentiate. Okay, let's continue. Chavit at ad. So there's two ways to explain this. I'll show you the Pnei Moshe. He says either it's talking about a hadak tani b'matnitin scharo la'asot lo af bishu aver lo chavit yai nes scharo mutar. That's davke shepasaki mo leschar kituf bishvil kol chavit chavit beratzmo. In other words, one way to read this is exactly like I explained in the Pnei Moshe say in the Mishnah, which was when is the whole schar mutar? If you happen to take a few barrels of yai nesach, that's when he's paid by the barrel. That's what the Mishnah is saying is, here, the azar mina the at konsol chavito shel yayin ad kedei scharo, meaning the schar that was related to the single barrel. That's one way to explain it. However, Inami said it can explain something else. Yesh Shafresh, kitef imol chavit uchavit, meaning shid na imol beschar, kituf, you carry a barrel, then I will also do a barrel for you, or I'll lachlif imol chavit uchavit, or exchange barrel. Now, it seems to be in that situation, what is given is more than the schar. So the kagon shenoden lo chavit shel heter is giving a barrel of heter for his work, for every barrel he transfers. The atak konzo bechavit ad kedei scharo. And therefore, what it's saying is that we don't asur the entire barrel, but the value of that which it was given up until what is considered the wage of someone being a porter to carry these barrels. That's two ways to look at it. The reason why it doesn't like the second explanation is that's what the Gemara will address very soon, more like a question coming up soon. Okay? But that's why, so there's two ways to explain what that means. I think there are, I'm afraid to bring many more, but we'll just leave it with that. Next thing we find a chumrah. Natano karka bischaro. Say someone's working with the Ainesach and the benevolent person gave him land for that, for his wage. We say, b'chol atar, ata omer ein karka. Now, in general, we say land that can't become asur. But once again, this knas, this chumrah of the Ainesach, we say, v'kor ne'asar will be asur. So too, natano be'ema. What if you gave him an animal as a schar? The scharo, b'chol atar, Jenny, you're right. Atal mer ein davar sheyesh bo ruchai ne'asar. It's something a living creature that's become asur. Exception would be rov of a nirba for a korban, but that's a different thing altogether. But saying b'chol, you don't find that relating to afyomi. V'chol ne'asar. But here we find that it would become asur, a living creature, as knas began for doing work with yayin nesach. Let's continue. Natan lo akol bischaro, hakol asur. Now, here's where the Pnei Moshe was referring to before, that if he pays him more than the wage value, do we make the entire payment asur, or only the wage value of equal to Yayin Nesach? Like he overpays him, he gives him a bonus, or something like that. How much is asur? And it seems to be here left as a question. Okay? In other words, is that kol asur, or ino se alat kedei scharo? What happens? What if the person just does the goy a favor? He's a neighbor, or it could be a Jew with Yayin Nesach. But and he says, "Can you help me schlep some things?" He says, "Not a problem. You're a great neighbor of mine. I'm happy to help you out." And he starts carrying it. Now that's something we'd normally pay someone for. Now if it would be paid, we'd say that wage is asur. So what in this situation we say for this Jew? What happens is we would take a mashkon from his menachasav kedei scharo. In other words, he still has to lose out on the value of what it would have been worth to hire such a person, meaning the person who helped. Okay? Yafeh. And that's asu ba'ana. That's also a knas. Whatever. Haya yase imo chatzei yom bi'isu v'chatzei yom b'heter. What if someone's working a whole day? Half of the day is with Yayin Nesach and half of the day is not. What do we say in this situation? And then Moshe says, Miuha can be by alone into the question. Imaya or do we say Imutar b'schar shel melechatet. Do we say let's say the morning's work is mutar, whatever was paid for that? Or Dilma Amrina, maybe say the ilam melechet, had he not done the melechet isur sha'aseimo lo yaschoroi, he wouldn't have got the whole day's work. So do we say the morning was dependent on the fact that he did asa work in the afternoon, therefore I make a knas on his entire day's wage? It's another question. Okay, fine. Next, and then it's, and I'll just say a little bit more. Haya, we ask the question, now this is, because this is not really next, this is still part of the question. Do we apply the same things we say by the following? Haya moker chulin v'sheni, meaning master sheni, someone chulin and master sheni. Beker achad together. Eze she yirtzeh chulin yaseh v'eseh v'shel v'sheni yaseh v'achaken. Do we say, like, if someone sells chulin and master sheni, which are allowed to do, the money that came from it is like nivlal, it's all together. Do we say, like there we say, you know, you can just take some of the monies, like using the principle of Breyer, if you like, and say those money is Maaseh Sheni money and this Maaseh Sheni money is Chulin? Do we apply the same thing here for the worker that worked the full day? Half of it was at Yisro, half of the Heter. Can we say the same thing? The money you got, can you just say Mavarer and say, okay, these ones are Asur. I wasn't allowed to get this money, and the afternoon money I can keep, or back to the beginning, we say, is the whole thing asur? And with that, I'll leave you in suspense. And we'll see the answer, Mitzvah Hashem, for the next year. So, all right, have a good Shabbos.